nanohub.org.
You can follow along with this presentation using printed slides from the NanoHub. Visit www.nanohub.org and download the PDF file containing the slides for this presentation. Print them out and turn each page when you hear the following sound. Enjoy the show.
Hi, so my name is Kamil Wolczak, and I'm representing the group, Virginia Nanocomputing Group, created by Professor Avik Ghosh. And today I will talk about modeling molecule-assisted transport in nanodevices or nanotransistors. So first I want to say a few words about motivation of our work. It comes from the experiments, and as we all know, when the devices are getting smaller and smaller, the transport becoming dominated by some traps or some impurities in the surfaces or interfaces. And for example, silicon atoms at the surfaces rebond to reduce their energy and to create surface states. And the surface states can be detected in some experiments. This is one of them, the group by Jiang. They measured source drain current versus gate voltage, and they saw some flicker signals in their characteristics. Also, gated dangling bonds can charging dangling bonds can modify the IV cars, for example. Here is the picture that shows that the distance from the dangling bonds to the molecular conduction channel in the standard STM experiment can change the slope of the IV curve. And they can also modify some other transport characteristics like shifting threshold voltage or mobility of the charge. Of the charge carriers flowing through the channel. So we can, of course, imagine that we can passivate those traps. There are a few questions that appears here. Can we engineer these molecular traps so to create, for example, regular traps instead of some random traps in the system? How to detect them? Can it be useful, even if we can detect these traps, if it can be useful, and how to model trap-assisted transport in these systems? So let me just tell you something about experiment conducted by the Tour group, where they were able to show how the IV curve is changing due to the dipolic molecules grafted onto the conduction channel in the standard field effect transistor. So our group at the University of Virginia was able to model this kind of experimental results using the standard square law theory with some body correction. And they were able to predict the exact experimental voltage shifting in the system due to these dipolic molecules grafted on the surface. The calculations were performed within the DFT method using a VASP program, and then the dipolic moments were incorporated into the Poissonian solver, and this information can be extracted from the results. So, and we can see that this experimental results matches very well with our theoretical predictions. So, but it's not only about treating molecules as scattering centers, because actually we are not treating them as a conduction channels like in conventional molecular electronics experiments, but we are treating it as a scattering centers. But it's also, we want to model time-dependent phenomena that can occur in the systems. For example, there is an experiment conducted by the Cowan-Hoven group where the double quantum dot connected with some reservoirs so we have this kind of system here. We have this kind of configuration, and we are measuring current versus time characteristics, applying magnetic field and modulating the spin in the system. So it works by the polyblockade mechanism discussed by Bhaskaran. So when the spin is fixed on this spin up is fixed on this quantum dot, the spin up cannot go through the system, but we can apply external magnetic field and rotate the spin, and that's why the current starting to flow. And we can observe, when we do it periodically, we can observe current versus time oscillations. And there were also another experiment conducted by Jiang group from UCLA, where in the transistor, in the field effect transistor with some paramagnetic impurity here, there were able to observe some jumps in the current versus time. And the mechanism is very simple, because when they apply the source drain bias, they are opening the conduction window in the system, and then through gate voltage, they are trying to push the energy level of this trap. And when this trap is inside the conduction window, the trap is populated and depopulated. So we have a high state current and low state current for a fixed source drain bias and gate also. So what about the computational scheme that we are using in our calculations? There are two different regimes. One works for coupling greater than charging energy in the system, as Bhaskaran said. So we are in self-consistent field transport regime, and we can formulate the theory by the rate transfer from the reservoir or from the contact to the channel. And it depends on the length of the channel. If we are talking about microsystems, we are in diffusive transport regime, so we are using drift diffusion equation or more general Boltzmann transport equation. When we are in nano, we are talking about nanosystems, we are using Landauer theory or a non-equilibrium Green's function theory. And there's also another transport regime which works for coupling much weaker than charging energy. And we can formulate this theory in the language of transfer rate between different configurations here. And it means that we are using master equation or more general density matrix formalism. But what we are really interested in is to couple these two systems together and model transport through weakly correlated systems, but couple it to strongly correlated systems like molecules or quantum dots. And it's really very important because the nanotechnology has some problems in connecting the nanostructures together to compose the integrated circuits that works properly. And we believe that we can marry somehow microtechnology with nanotechnology in the future and use this system somehow. And here we are using non-equilibrium Green's function formalism and master equations for this strongly correlated systems. And we know how to implement that into the computational schemes because it's coming through the sigma scattering and this U potential into Negev. So let us talk about light-induced oscillations. Let us suppose that we have a standard field effect transistor and the molecular targets comes in and it's attached to the system. It brings us to the picture when we have a quantum dot. Let's say we can simplify it with two energy levels. One is occupied, one is unoccupied. And we have another quantum dot, which is coupled strongly to the contacts. And then we are shining the light on the system. What is happening? We can observe oscillations in the occupation between these two energy levels. So this solid line represents occupation of lower level, broken line, higher level. So we have some kind of signal creation. And we are trying to transfer the signal to the channel and see the signal in current time characteristics. So for fixed bias, we can measure in current, which is changing in time. And we discovered that there are two different mechanisms that are responsible for this kind of signal transfer. One is Coulomb blockade, which works when the trap is when the distance between the trap and the channel is long, it becomes dominated, and quantum interference become dominated when the trap is very close to the conduction channel. So here we have some kind of charge redistribution. Here we have some kind of state blocking because the wave penetrating the trap cannot go through one of this channel because it's periodically blocked. So we can see this kind of stuff. So as I said, we have two different transport mechanisms. One is Coulomb blockade, one is quantum interference. So this picture explains what is going on in the system. We should remember that we are not changing the amount of charge on the trap, but we are somehow redistributing this charge. And we can also imagine some chemical engineering problems here because this different energy states can correspond to different orbitals, different in size, different in shape, different in orientation in space. So they can be differently coupled to the channel. And here in our calculations, we are not including that, but it can be also included. And we can see funny things associated with this problem. What is more, we can somehow tunable or signal by changing coupling to the channel and changing the U parameter by gate voltage, because they strongly depends on the gate voltage. And we can see, for example, that the amplitude of our oscillations strongly, it means exponentially, depends on the gate voltage in the system. Of course, when the channel is not too broad, it means that the width of the channel is less than the so-called Debye length. What else? We included decoherence in this phenomenological way, so it means that another parameters comes to the equation of motion for operators associated with our dot, and we see that the amplitude of the oscillations disappear with time. And I should also say something about memory effect, because we are using fully time-dependent non-equilibrium Green's function formalism, which was invented by Professor Datta. And so it means that our two-time quantities become matrices. All the integral equations becomes matrix equations, and all the multiple integrals become matrix multiplications. So But of course, in our formalism, we cannot go in time from minus infinity to plus infinity, and we have to cut off the time in our system. So the highest limit is our observational time, but the lowest limit not goes from zero, so from the moment when we are shining the light on the dot, but our results a little bit depends on the history of the system. So what was happening before the light was shining in the system. So we should also include this memory effect known as non-Markovian process into our calculational scheme. So it was optically created. I was talking about optically created signal and detected electronically. Let us suppose that we want to model noise detection in the system. So we have the same field effect transistor to which molecular target is attached. And then this molecular target creates some energy levels, some states in between valence and conduction band of the channel. Now, when we are opening this conduction window and we are applying gate voltage to the system, and this energy levels comes in between the electrochemical potentials of the contacts, we can populate and depopulate these energy levels. What is going on? So we can observe this steps, this jumps in the occupation versus time. And it can be converted into this flicker signal, which can be observed as a flickers in the source drain current versus gate voltage. So there is some experimental results from the Jiang group from UCLA. And we can observe current versus time oscillations and also some flicker signals in current versus voltage oscillations. And this is our theoretical results where we were trying to model these experimental results at least qualitatively, not quantitatively, but qualitatively. We were used here, we are not using fully time-dependent version of NEGF formalism, but we are using adiabatic approximation. It means that the sweeping voltage rate is slower than the population-depopulation process. And only in this case we can observe this flickering signals in the system. And can it be useful? Of course it can be useful, because when we have some molecular target in the system, we can actually scan all the energy levels of the molecule, because we can shift the energy levels one by one into the conduction window, so we can scan it somehow, and we can also extract some information about localization of these traps in the system. So it is a kind of, I guess, nanosensor, and when we know what kind of molecules or impurities we have in the system, we can use this information to passivate it by attaching or detaching molecules and to obtain some nanostructures without any impurity signals in the system. What is in the future? So we are still working on this nanosensor proposed here, and we are trying to get back to this time-dependent version of non-equilibrium Green's function formalism, and we are trying to find some formal conditions that should be fulfilled to use this adiabatic approximation, because intuitively we know that it's working, and we saw that it's working because experimental and theoretical results are similar, but we want some formal explanation. One of the students also walking on this nanocooler where the molecule is attached to the channel and the current flowing through the channel can somehow rotate the molecule attached to the system. And what is going on? So this kinetic energy of the electron flowing through this channel is converted into the rotational energy of the molecule, that and that process effectively cooling the channel of the system. So it also can be useful in the future because we are looking for some cooling mechanism in the system. And we are also working, another student is working on the spin switch where the magnetic impurities can be switched by the polarized current flowing through the channel through this torque effect. So I showed that this molecular assisted transport can be useful, and we can somehow make use of the information given us from this current voltage or current time characteristics in the system. So thank you very much, and I'm waiting for some.